The question was asked, why Hasidim wear a gartel? So before we talk about Hasidim, we'll go back to where this whole conversation began. And it began when I saw Daniel wearing a robe. So I said, Daniel... I hope you're wearing undergarments under that. And the reason is because the Gemara says that we have to take care when we speak Divrei Torah that our heart cannot, so to speak, see our private part. The area where a person gets a bris milah, circumcised, which we call the aver, that's a term we use, we say dalim, as a reference to that area or to that organ. So that's called a person's erva, person's private part. And just as an introduction, in general, our sages taught us to use euphemisms, to try and use nice terms instead of speaking vulgarly. So long as everyone understands when I say bris milah that I refer to that limb, so we're going to say the bris milah from now on. So Chazal taught us that one's heart is described as seeing. V'libi ra'o bechokhma v'dat, King Solomon said. My heart has seen a lot of wisdom, a lot of different philosophies, King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes and Koheles. So our sages taught us that just as our eyes can see, so too we speak of our heart as spiritually being able to see. And as such, we are supposed to ensure that not only our eyes don't see our private part when we speak the very Torah, but our heart as well. The Torah says that when we're in camp, when we're out at war, God says you have to be careful not to do disgusting acts, because God is within your camp. God shouldn't see something that should really be covered, something that's shame to you. Because if God does, v'shav machecha, God will leave you. So our sages derived from that verse, that this doesn't only refer to a time of war, but it refers to our camp in general. And our sages said that each Jew, his four footsteps around him, are called his camp. We say the Shechina is with each of us, and the Shechina is within our four footsteps. And when we learn Torah, God is with us. And when we daven or make a blessing, God is with us. So we say, Baruch atah, blessed are you. We're not talking to the person standing opposite us, we're talking to God. So as such, when we say things of holiness, Torah or blessings or prayer, we're not allowed to have our own erva, our own private part, revealed to our eyes or to someone else's eyes. Meaning, let's say a person's standing and he's stark naked, but he wears a tube. Like he's, so he can't see. But we say, yeah, but his erva is visible. Or let's say a person wants to make a blessing, wants to drink a cup of water, and he's at the mikveh. Or he's at a public shower, and someone else's private part is revealed. So we say a person may not make a blessing when he can see it. If he turns around, that's enough. Some opinions say that it's enough to close one's eyes. If one has no choice, one could rely on that. It's not a question of looking. The question is it visible from your vantage point? And the same thing is true. So you could put your head down. The same thing is true with regard to a woman's private parts. Only by a woman we say that it encompasses all the parts that a woman should cover out of modesty. It encompasses her arms from her elbows up, and it encompasses her legs from her knee up, and it encompasses her hair, if one can. If a married woman has her hair uncovered, one should preferably not make a blessing across from her. All this stems from that verse, that God says that when He is with us, we have to ensure that the covered parts have to remain covered. Now, with regard to one's heart seeing, so ordinarily we're wearing a shirt, our heart can't see. But let's say we're wearing a robe, so even though our heart is covered externally, but we say that the heart, so to speak, can see our own private part. And this is most relevant if a man is wearing a robe. But usually when we wear a robe, our robes have belts. So a belt would keep the robe closed around our waist, and that's enough. Now, the Gemara says that one, in preparation for prayer, is supposed to wear one's sash. In ancient times, they used to wear part of their clothing, was to wear a sash, this big belt around their waist. And the Rishonim, in explaining that Gemara, I have two opinions. Does that mean that when we're about to pray, so we have to put on an external belt, which is what Hasidim do? Or does it mean that we have to ensure that there's a separation between our heart and our erva, our bris milah? So most opinions, Ashkenazim, we generally go with the opinion that's quoted in the Tosfos, the opinion that says, that's enough, I'm wearing underwear. So there's a separation between my heart and my erva. I'm wearing a belt, I'm wearing pants, so I have three separations, fine. The Hasidim have adopted to go with the other opinion, and they say that they're wearing a gartel, they're adding another separation between their heart and their erva in honor of prayer. Another reason one might want to wear a gartel for prayer is because the halacha says one should preferably have special garments for prayer, for coming for our Creator. So they say, I'm wearing the gartel, that's a special garment. The gartel makes the most sense when one is wearing the Hasidic garb. If you have a long Hasidic robe, so then the gartel matches. Those people who wear a suit jacket and suddenly tie a thing above it, that doesn't look so nice. That's not exactly the way you'd come before a king nowadays. If you put the gartel aligned with your fins, somewhere by the belt, and then you could say it looks nice, and the jacket above it, we could hear it. But to take a jacket, which today people, no one does that, or some Hasidim say, wearing a gartel is more honorable than wearing a tie. So if they have a tie and they don't have a gartel, I've seen Hasidim will take the tie and tie it around their waist. So first of all, it ruins the tie, but it's not recommended. That's not an honorable way. You wouldn't stand for a king that way. But that's the basic idea behind the gartel and behind why I told Daniel that I hope there's something separating so that we can continue learning. So that depends on the opinion. If you're going with the opinion that it's enough everything else we're wearing, so you don't need a gartel altogether.
But they say the Hasidim say that they don't wear a tie because it's a goyishe maishe and they want to separate. So it is therefore a way to go before a king, just as you can be, you know, there's a
Yeah, but even Jews don't wear ties as belts. It's a funny type of belt. You can't say that's an honorable way of walking around.
But they wear a gartel before a king.
They wear a gartel? Okay, if they wear a gartel before a king, fine. I don't know. I don't think that if someone had an important business meeting, he'd put on a gartel over his suit. If you're wearing his Hasidish garb, and part of the garb is that belt, like a sash, so then, yeah, that's a nice way of appearing. But if it's if it's putting it over a suit, I think it's if one is going to join that sect of Hasidim, so he should see what they do and speak to their rabbi and do what they do. I'm just saying in general to understand the halachic basis. So that's the basic picture. Yeah.
Well, don't they only wear it once they get married because they get the longer jacket?
No. Hasidim will wear a gartel, I think, from their bar mitzvah. So that I don't know. Okay, anything else on this issue?
Not